A previously recorded Matt Slick Show.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome. I hope you all had a great weekend. I had a pretty good weekend. Hey, if you want to give me a call, as usual, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. Want to hear from you? We have five open lines, so nobody is waiting right now. If you have a question, all you got to do is call. And if this is a new thing, you're listening, what is this about? Well, I'm a Christian apologist. I defend the Christian faith, do radio, write books, got a large website, a very large website, carm.org, carm.org. If you have a question about the Bible, theology, atheism, Mormonism, Roman Catholicism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Islam, morality, you know, all kinds of stuff. We even talk about UFOs, we talk about government, and all you got to do is give me a call, 877-207-2276. You can also watch online. It's not a big deal, but you go to carm, carm.org, and you'll see the link for watching on the right-hand side. And there's also some schools there and stuff. You can watch live radio. You can watch on Facebook. You can, you know, it's whatever. There it is. You know, people like to watch. So if you want to, that's great. You can see it. And you can join the rest of the people. And there's a chat, text, and things like that. People can communicate. It's a lot of fun. All right. We have three open lines now, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Nelson from Bakersfield, California. Nelson, welcome, buddy. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. God bless.
God bless.
All is well.
Hey, my God's grace.
I got two questions, but let's start with this first one. It's from 1 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 18, and I believe, from what I see, it goes, of course, in context with 19 and on. But it says, can you read it there, just 18?
Yeah. For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having put to death, been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which he once made proclamation to the spirits now in prison, who were once disobedient, etc. Yeah.
Yeah, where it says right there, put to death in the flesh and made alive in the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but is it also referring to the following verse where he goes to those to preach in prison, meaning that Christ is in a, like a, I don't know if this is correct to say, but like in a spirit form?
Well,
is that what it's saying?
Or am I... At his death... Okay, first let's back up before that. What's called the incarnation, the hypostatic union, that there's two distinct natures in the one person of Christ. This hypostatic union cannot be dissolved by the death of the physical body of Christ. The nature of Christ's humanity, the truth of who Christ is, what he's done, is always there and always true. And so in the spirit form, let's just say without his body, he was still in the hypostatic union, two natures in one person. And so in the spirit he was alive, and he went and made proclamation to the spirits now in the prison. So we're not exactly sure what that means, but it looks like what he was doing was simply what I lean towards is he was informing the bad spirits and stuff of why they're in trouble. It was, yeah, because it was not evangelizing, but it was proclaiming. Okay. There's debate on it, though. But there's debate on that. That's my position. That's what I hold to.
Yeah, because I see that. I mean, it's not really clear there. So, and then thank you for that. And so, and the other one is from Exodus 30, starting in verse 23 and 24 together. And can you read those, please?
Sure. Take two. Take also for yourselves the finest spices of myrrh. And 500 shekels, fragrant cinnamon, 250 fragrant, and cassia 500 according to the shekel of sanctuary, and all of it. Okay, what about it?
The last one that the Lord is saying to Moses, the last, I don't know, correct me if but I saw this, it was a commercial on YouTube where I was trying to, and it kind of just caught my attention, where this guy, he said he's a pastor, and he was saying that the last one was mistranslated, that the actual word is cannabis, where we get the word cannabis. Is that correct? Or is he just
no
going?
No, I'm looking at the Hebrews. No, that's incorrect. Okay.
Oh yeah, because I looked it on the concordance and everything, and it talks about a flower, like a water flower type.
Well, it says an olive oil of hin. That's what he's talking about.
Well, I don't know. He just said that he talked about cannabis. That's what he said. So, and then it kind of, you know, as we do know that the cannabis.
Okay. So it's word cinnamon. Kind of about, yeah. So it looks like it might be phonetically what that is. But it's kinamon. So maybe that's what he's talking about. But it's cinnamon. That's what it is. Fragrant cinnamon, 250 acacia. So no, that's not it either. So no, I don't know what he's saying. Okay.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to just get your thought of it, but okay.
And also think about this.
That's it.
Let's just say it was. Let's just say that the word was pronounced that way in Hebrew. Let's just say it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, cannabis is Latin. It's a Latin form for designating a certain kind of a plant. Does that mean that they were in tune with the Latin forms of a plant designation back in Hebrew? No.
No.
So, okay, it's just, people read into the Bible sometimes. It's just like, come on. I just want to say, stop it. When take their, you know, just flick their ear.
Yeah, because I guess what he was getting at with that is that this is the recipe for, this is the reason why, like, Adam and back and then Moses lived as many years as they lived.
Okay, that guy's
then.
Whacked. Yeah, so that's the recipe to make you live a long time. Yeah, and then he what for $29.95? He'll send you his special blend. Is that what it is? Yeah.
I just wanted to get your thought of it. That's fine.
Yeah, my thought of it is that the guy's full of crud.
He was reading from Second Moronicles, right?
Yeah, Second Moronicles, and he was getting down deep into it. Probably when his advance is Third Moronicles, he really went for it. Probably, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that should be it. Thank you very much, brother.
All right, Nelson, man. God bless.
All right.
Hey, folks, we have four open lines if you want to give me a call. All you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. Let's get to Bill from Charlotte, North Carolina. Hey, Bill, welcome. You're on the air.
Hello, Matt.
Hello.
Hello, Matt. This is Bill from Charlotte. How are you, sir?
I'm doing all right, man. I'm doing all right. What do you got?
Well, it's just a simple question. How could you say that you believe in Christ, you follow Christ, and vote for a Democrat?
People can...
I know, you get a kick out of that.
Yeah, I'd recommend that people go on to Netflix. I think it's Netflix, or is it Netflix? I'll probably get rid of because there's stupid stuff they're doing lately. But
the child porn called
cuties. Cuties, that's right. I'm gonna get rid of Netflix because of that. But there's a video called Hillary's America, and I strongly recommend that everybody check that out. Denise D'Souza produced it, and it goes through the history of the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party was the party that supported slavery, that supported the KKK, and that fought against equal rights in the 60s. People don't know this.
Oh yeah,
and yeah.
Yeah, well.
So
and one more thing, I would say: how could anybody support the Burn, Loot, and Murder organization?
Right.
Because we know that they're Marxist, pro-homosexual, pro-abortion,
anti-family,
traditional mom and dad family. What
That's
else?
Right.
I mean, all that stuff, and you know, I live in Charlotte. There's a church called Victory Christian Center. A really good pastor named Pastor Robin Gould. And I saw a video the other day. You know the video where there's a dude doing a radio show? He's a, I don't know, I'd say young, I'm 60, he's probably a 30-year-old black guy with glasses and a tie, and he's got a dude in the studio, and he's playing that he's playing that Zoom audio of the founder of BLM in L.A., where she's talking about calling on dead spirits. I think she said she got one named Wakisha she'd never met and all that. You heard that, right?
No, but I want to see it. Yeah, so, you got to send me that information.
It's a video. It's a video, and the dude's a believer, and he's like, how could, you know, he's a black guy, how could we support this group? This woman's calling on spirits of the dead. That's witchcraft. Because, you know, when they do their rallies, they go, say their name, say their name. Well, that's kind of the way of chanting, trying to call spirits of the dead down. So Pastor Gould, who pastors a really large black church in my town, he said, well, I'm getting ready to show a video, and now none of us in here should be offended by it. But maybe if you're offended out there, that's a good thing. You need to be offended. And he played the video where the dude was kind of telling what that matters, that movement's all about. And then he came back to Pastor saying, yeah, you know, how could you as a believer support that movement? You know, what really chaps my butt, but it's good for me, is, you know, the pro sports leagues, NFL giving $250 million to it. Did they not even read the website and realize that it's an anti-American organization?
Well, I'm with you, man. And lucky for me, I don't watch sports. I lost interest, 40, 50 years ago. I just don't care about sports. And, you know, I know that the NFL's ratings are just plummeting. People don't – we want sports – in order to escape, in order to have fun, not to get preached at with you know, politically correct crap. We don't want that. You know, it's just, I'm so sick of it. I gave up sports when players just were trading here, there, going for money. You know, there's no respect. So I gave it up. But at any rate, I'm with
you.
Along
that same line, Matt, you remember earlier when Hong Kong was getting dogged because the communist China, and Daryl Morey, who's the general manager of the Houston Rockets, said, we stand with Hong Kong. Now, at the time, a bunch of NBA players were doing a little tour over there, and LaQuitter James made a comment. He goes, yeah, he needs to be re-educated. And they talk about being woke. Well, how come we're not woke about the communist oppression? How come they're not woke about the innocent people getting murdered in one of the highest gun control cities in the country, Chicago? We don't hear about those murders. Those lives don't seem to matter. It's just the guys who don't obey the commands of the officers when they're being questioned here, and hence maybe they get shot. I'm not saying it was right, but, you know, when we obey the officers' commands, they typically don't beat us up or shoot us.
Well, you know what? This is, I'll tell you this. This really happened to me March of 2018. I got a phone call. It was 2019. I get a phone call. This is the police department. Come downstairs. What? So I go downstairs. I don't know what's going on. And open the front door, and there are cops everywhere with their guns pointed at me. This is for real. I'm not making this up. And what had happened is someone had called up and said that, quote, my name's Matt Slick. I just shot and killed my wife, close quote. That's what the cops told me. So they came there. They had paramedics, they had sheriffs, they had police, they had an ambulance, the fire department. So it was called getting swatted. So they said, come outside. I came outside. I did exactly what they said.
Exactly.
And I had my phone in my hand. This was at night. I dropped my phone according to what they said. And if you want, I'll tell you what happened afterwards because we had a break. Hey, folks, give me a call. We'll be right back after these messages. We have four open lines. 877-207-2276. Please give me a call.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the show. Bill, are you still there?
Yes, Matt, I'm still here, sir.
All right, so I figured I might as well finish my story because people are like, what? I remember, you know, they had the guns pointed at me, and this is 9 o'clock at night, and I could see their rifles and their pistols pointed at me behind the cars and the whole bit. I had no clue what was going on, but I knew it was a mistaken identity thing of some sort. And so they said, you know, throw down your, you know, drop your phone. So I put my phone down. I even took my reading glasses off, my normal glasses, and they said, put your hands up. And I did. And they said, walk forward, come out here, stop, you know, turn around, stop, or lift up your shirt. I, you know, did what I could. Walk backwards 15 steps, stop, move to your left. I did exactly what they said. And these were loaded weapons on me. And I just did what they said. They handcuffed me. And then they drugged me, not drugged me, but they just walked me gently. They did a great job. They walked me back, and they asked me, "Where's your wife?" And I said, "She's under the window right over there," which wasn't a good choice of words, considering that someone had said I shot and killed her. And they said, "Well, have her come out." Well, she can't. She just had open heart surgery, and she's recovering from stuff. So, you know, they went in, and they cleaned the house and the whole bit. And then afterwards, they uncuffed me and the whole thing, and because they put me in a squad car. And they came out and said, "Do you know anybody who'd want to do this to you?" And I laughed. I said, "Oh, man, it's a whole bunch of people." And I got to witness to the cops. And one of them stayed after, and I got to talk to him a little bit longer. But you know what? I told the cops, I said, "Look, you guys did a great job. I wasn't worried. Because I knew that this was a mistake of some sort. I'll just do exactly what you said, and everything's going to be fine." And everything was fine. No big deal. That's what I did.
Yep.
You know, what if it was a car, and I was walking towards it, and I open up a door, and I'm reaching into the car? They don't know what I'm doing. They don't know what I got in the car. They don't know if I'm reaching for a gun. And somebody disobeys like that when you got guns on you, and you head to a vehicle like that one guy did, and he got shot. I don't blame the cops for shooting him. I would. I mean, you don't know what that guy's going to do. You know?
Yeah, well, maybe the guy they shot in the back, they could have tased. But either way,
yeah, they could have tased.
If we obey their commands, they typically don't beat us up or shoot us. Typically.
That's right. Just do what they say. Come on. And that's it.
Yes.
And you know, I've been through it. And I mean, lots of cops. Lots of them. And sheriffs.
Yeah, you had the whole...
Yeah, I had... That's right. And they thought I'd killed my wife. I mean, so they didn't know. There was paramedics there, an ambulance there waiting, ready. I mean, seriously.
Well, tell me something. So whoever made the call, don't they typically have a way to know where that came from, to identify that caller?
No. No, this one, we talked about it, and they got away with it. But the people who threatened my family before didn't. And the FBI got involved with that one. But that's another story, another time.
Yeah.
So anyway,
well, you know, we know the liberal narrative. When we were growing up, what's good was good, and what's bad was bad. But now it's exactly the opposite.
That's Isaiah 5:20. Beware of those who call evil good and good evil. That's exactly what's happening here. And I would suggest that people start studying the Gestapo and the tactics that they used to brainwash people. In fact, with Agenda 21, which is the sexualization of very, very young children in first, second, third grade, trying to get them to be involved in pornography and other things, it's in 27 states right now. And,
they're talking about teaching kids about sex and
No, more than just that. We're talking about, I've got to be careful because there's kids around in radio and stuff, but involvement and how-tos and what-fors and saying don't listen to your mom and dad's morality and things like that. It's a way of undermining and weakening the families in America. This is for the destruction of our country.
Yes.
It is.
Well, we both
there's more stuff.
Like it's illegal in certain states. It's illegal in certain states. If my wife and I have a boy, he says, "I have same-sex attraction, but I know it's wrong. I want to get some counseling to fight those feelings." That's illegal in California and many other states.
Yeah, People's Republic of California, where the governor just signed into law lessening the penalties of pedophilia. Yeah. So we are in a lot of trouble. I mean, the Christian church needs to stand up. And I mean, it needs to stand up. And it needs to be marching in the streets. The Christians need to stop about the difference of pre-trib, post-trib rapture and stuff like that and start marching in the streets. And don't believe this pre-trib rapture stuff we're going to get out. That's just a hopeful dream. We got to start fighting for what's right, and we got to fight according to the law. And if we don't, then the unbelievers are going to be the ones who are going to take over, and they won't deal nicely with us. Just think of Nazi Germany. When people said, "Hey, it won't happen in Nazi Germany," the people who got in control were demonically led, and they went after God's people. They're going to do the same thing here. They're already starting to damage churches, but the media is not covering it. Churches are being attacked.
When you mentioned marching, the March for Life every year, that gets no media coverage.
Right. But if you get 14 leftists protesting something, it's front page news all over the place. But you get 50,000 pro-lifers marching, the news, which is complicit with, in my opinion, the attempted downfall of America with their leftist agenda. I don't understand how any Christian who studied anything could vote leftist or vote for Biden or vote for Kamala Harris or ever voted for Obama. I don't understand how they could
anybody
do that.
With a Democrat. Yeah, I agree. Anybody who's got a D beside them is satanic, more or less.
Yeah, DEM, to start off. But, I say to people, go research the Democratic Party's history. They have unanimously, they've been on the side of pro-slavery, anti-integration, and they were the KKK. They're the ones who fought against good things. And it's the Republicans who, I'm not a Republican or a Democrat, but it was the Republicans who fought for the freedom of the slaves and other things. It's documented, but the news media is so stinking leftist that you just can't trust them. So that's why I recommend everybody get your phones and get the app called Conservative News Pro. Pay $1.50, whatever it is, to get the pro version. And support it. Conservative News Pro, you get all kinds of other information out there that the leftist media won't tell you. Okay? And get the Conservative Chronicle and, there's another one I forgot. Let me check it. I want to support this stuff, you know? I mean, you know, I answered Bible questions and theological questions, but also along with this is the necessity of Christians to stand up and fight against unrighteousness because that's biblical as well. And politics is part of the discussion on what the news is. It's part about everything. Epic Times. Get the Epic Times. Yeah, Epic Times is quite good. Also, just get the Christian Post and the Conservative News Pro. And, get informed, people. But I'm going to tell you, start praying. How can we as Christians be united to move against a leftist agenda? Because their goal is for the destruction of America, ultimately the criminalization of Christianity. And the perversion as a legislated norm of sexual perversions. And then if you don't agree with them, you're the one who needs to be re-educated. This kind of stuff is what God judges nations for. And he judges them harshly.
Well,
so we want to escape. You got to go, buddy. There's a break.
Got
to go.
God bless. Bye.
Hey, man, call back tomorrow. We'll talk some more, okay? All right. Hey, folks, be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Let's get on the lines with John from Boise, Idaho. Hey, John, welcome. You're on the air.
Hello, Matt. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. Hey, but close okay. by. Hey, I live in Nampa. Don't know if we've met or not before, but anyway.
My volume is really bad. I'm having a hard time hearing. My question is about annihilationism versus, eternal torment.
Yes.
And the question is it typical for an annihilationist to say there is no such thing as hell?
No. They just reinterpret hell. What they'll say is that hell, different annihilationists hold different views. And so some will say hell is simply the grave of non-existence. And others will go so far as to say that it's actual fire and torment, but after a period of time when you've, so to speak, paid your debt, then you're annihilated. So those are the extremes, and then they fall in between those as well. Okay?
So it's not typical. A person was trying to prove to me that there's no such thing as hell in the Bible, and he sent me an Edward Budge video, which I've found you addressed him on the GARM.org website.
Yeah.
But he's saying that Edward Fudge says there's no such thing as hell. And I go, no, he's an annihilationist, but there's still hell in annihilation theory, right?
Yeah, in some degrees of it, yeah. And if you've seen my articles, I wrote 180 articles on annihilationism.
Yes.
I found out that Fudge I wouldn't say lied, but he definitely got things wrong. I did some fact-checking on some of this stuff and caught him in it. And, you know, he was putting his annihilationist ideas into the scriptures, but he made several mistakes, and I checked him. But, you know, that's the view with annihilationists, and it's a false view. It's a heretical view. It doesn't mean they're not Christians, but there are some serious ramifications that deal with the human nature that can affect the nature of the atoning work. Because if they're going to say that people cease to exist at their death, then that would mean that the hypostatic union was annihilated at Christ's death, which would then deny the true nature of the incarnation. And some say that, well, he went into soul sleep. Well, then how can that be? The hypostatic union is in jeopardy with soul sleep because there's no attribution and work of the soul at this point. But then there's, again, more complicated things. But, you know, I've had a standing debate offer with Chris Date, one of the proponents of this, to discuss the issue as it relates to his view that the soul ceases to exist upon death and how it relates to the sufficiency of the atoning work. Because that view is flat-out heretical. And it's close to damnable heresy. And, you know, depending on what his particular view in a nuanced varying position would be, which is why I'm being as gentle as I am about it. But annihilationism is very problematic.
Okay. Very good. That answered my question, and it helps a lot. Thanks.
All right, man. God bless, buddy. All right. That was John from right here in Boise. Let's get to Cade. That's kind of a cool name. From Ohio. Hey, Cade, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey there. I will first want to thank you for all you've done, Matt. I know it's a lot of effort, and it's a lot of apologetics. My friend calls it a pile of headaches, you know.
Yes. So, yes, it is.
So anyway, I want to thank you for that. But my question was concerning early Christian writing.
Okay.
And I don't know if you've done, so if you do a basic Google search, and you've probably done this before, what comes up is early writings, earlychristianwritings.org by, I think it's Peter Kirby. Are you familiar with that?
No.
Okay. So he has one of the best collections of the translations of early Christian writings, and then the references, the early references to Jesus.
Really?
So say Josephus, Tacitus, Suetonius, these things.
Okay.
The problem here is, he himself is more agnostic. I don't think he's a believer anymore. And his detail work, his what he says about the documents are of the most critical or skeptical nature. Even the dates are given late dates. So the problem is, I want to show Christians all the evidence for Christ, which is great, but one of the first things they click on is this site, which has all the translations, which are good, but then they have late dates, and they have really critical scholarship there. So I guess my challenge for you and for maybe others is to have more of a collection of those sources where we can go to, or maybe you know of a site where you can go to, Christians can go to, and learn about these early sources without all of this, kind of propaganda, basically.
It's a huge undertaking, and I didn't know that was out there, but now I do. Thanks for ruining my day and make me worry about this now. Appreciate that. It's good stuff.
Yeah, this has kind of been on my mind for a while now because I'm a history major.
Okay. I'm looking at it, and it's got all kinds of stuff in there. So, yeah. Anyway, I'm not sure what to say right now, but I see what he's doing. They're putting the dates, Corinthians 50 to 60, okay. Gospel of Matthew 80 to 100. That doesn't make any sense. So he's dating things late. What do we do with the Book of Acts? Because that would be interesting. The Book of Acts, he puts it 80 to 130. That's ridiculous. The Book of Acts contains, the history of the early church, and it does not even mention the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 A.D., nor does it contain the death of Peter and Paul, which occurred around 62 A.D. And so you'd think that Luke, who's a historian, would write and would include these super important things, particularly since he recorded the death of Thomas. Thomas? Oh, man, I am tired. I didn't get much sleep last night. Stephen, sorry, in Acts chapter 7, 55 through 60. And so the fact that Acts doesn't contain that is strong evidence that it was written beforehand. So he's just holding to liberal idiocy. And then we get to the Gospel of Luke, which is written before... Where's Luke?
I mean, I would date most of the New Testament between 50 and 70, not, you know, past that point.
Right.
So, he's just, you know, he's based upon, you know, and I study history too. So,
Yeah, he's a liberal wacko. He's just going for the liberal stuff. So that's all that's going on there. Unfortunately, he's got his information out and people don't know how to deal with it. The next higher critical question is if Luke and actually, he's done a lot of work. Written by the same person. Who was that person? The old Spanish script with the start of gospel. Papyrus Bodmer, you know, 200 CE book cleanse. Oh boy. Yeah, it would just take a major effort of someone to come in and deal with these things. It's just a huge effort. So,
So he's basically taking the most critical approach.
Right.
These scholars who reject a lot of it, and then they date it late, even though parts of it, of course, do date to the 30s and 40s. We talk about the passion narrative in the early creed. Of course they date early, but I would date most of it between 50 and 70, at least the final edition of what we have. And so I think what he's doing is really misleading people. It's a great website to find the text for the translation, but it's not for the whole details, the commentary and the date.
Yeah, I would agree. The estimated range of the Didache, 50 to 120 A.D., but, I find that when people bring this stuff up to me about the late dates of all this information, I just bring up the Book of Acts and the facts in there and say, why is it that they didn't include this? And it's a very, 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 very important question. And I don't know if he addresses that in there, but, and Luke was written before that. So it just lends itself to very early stuff, not late like these guys are doing. And the evidence is right there. And I've really shut a lot of people up with this, that questioning about the Book of Acts and this historical record of what it does have and what it doesn't have. So.
Okay, yeah. So I challenge you, Matt, to address this or include more of the text in some commentary on your website.
Well, I one of the things I wanted to do is I've got a lot of church fathers information there, but we need...
Okay, good.
The fact is, I just need help. Literally, I'm working 50, 60-hour weeks. I'm just converting this site over from Drupal into WordPress. I've got a full-time guy in Utah. We've got a full-time guy in Colombia, a full-time guy in Brazil, and another guy in Turkey. We got a guy in Malawi, South Africa area, and it's just a great deal of work. I have over 650 questions I haven't even gotten to yet. I've got 200, roughly, I think it's 200 preachers and teachers I'm supposed to get to. I'm supposed to write on the social justice stuff and the New Apostolic Reformation. And I'm telling you, and we don't have the funds to be able to hire other writers and researchers to do the work that needs to be done. And that's just what it is right now. So, Okay, buddy, gotta go.
Thank you.
All right, man.
Thank you.
God bless. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Okay, before we get to the callers, we have a full stack waiting. I just want to let you guys know, I just donated to the, during the break, I went in and donated to the Nuba Hospital. I know Michael Carbone, I know Stu Epperson, the people in charge of this radio network. These are godly men, good people. They didn't ask me to do this. This is completely just me wanting to do this. Please, go donate to that, okay? Donate to the Nuba Hospital thing. It's just something that it's worth doing. I kept... waiting for the right time to do it. I'm just doing it. And I get it. I got it done. We need to share the blessing. All right, let's get to Dan from Charlotte, North Carolina. Dan, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, thank you so much. I'm trying to understand in Genesis, the 42nd chapter, the verse that's number 24. It after the Joseph wept about his brothers, then he gave orders to fill their bags with every man's money. What kind of money was used between Egypt and where the brothers lived up in Canaan?
I don't know, but probably gold, silver, because they would have to have some form of commerce between the countries. And they could use like silver cups were often used for trading. Salt was used, cinnamon, spices. So it could be used in different forms, so different ways.
The word money doesn't necessarily mean anything.
I wouldn't
the way
know
that was written.
I wouldn't know in that particular case if it does or doesn't, but I would assume it was some form of coinage because the metal coins do go back very, very long time. So
yeah, they do.
That so they did have different ways of you know, like a bushel of wheat might be worth a certain value. You could trade it, but it became easier to do coinage because it could become standardized at that point. So they, I'm sure they had something there like that.
So they would be considered wealthy?
I don't know.
Because
wealthy is kind of a subjective term, but I'm sure they were prosperous, I would say. Okay.
Because on the same time, I don't know if I read the Bible right, but things catch my eye, and then it makes me wonder. Because like then going to the New Testament in Acts chapter 31, I mean chapter 8, verse 30, the Philip and the Ethiopian prophet, and he said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" So I was wondering, where did he get a copy of the scrolls of the Old Testament, the Ethiopian eunuch?
Oh, don't know where, but he did. Eunuchs were often used to guard in palaces. And so the implication is there he could have had access to some real riches and some powerful people who might have had documents like that. So that's generally how it is.
That's not unusual.
I wouldn't consider it to be that unusual. And incidentally, they both...
I just read the Bible and then...
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, it's all right.
When I read the Bible, all of a sudden something like that comes up, and I'm thinking pragmatically, like in 2020 terms, like, well, wow, how did that guy get that, or how did they? What kind of money did they? I don't know if that's right or wrong.
A eunuch. That's why the eunuchs were used in palaces and usually in rich homes and things like that for special privileges and varying things where they would guard and didn't have to worry about the ladies. If you get my drift, okay. And incidentally,
would he have gone back? And you, then would he have gone back and like spread the news down there? And
I don't know. We would think so, but don't know. Might have. Well, but back to Genesis 42, in verse 35, it says they put the money in the sack, so it's probably coinage. Just so you know,
coinage.
I just want to get back to that. Yeah. All right, buddy. We got callers waiting.
The Bible, like...
Okay. We get a lot of callers waiting. I want to get to them. All right, buddy. Okay. All right, let's get to Bill from California. Bill, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, I know the Bible says that God hates.
Yes.
But what does he hate? And he hates people. But does he... I'm going to give you a few examples. Does he hate certain presidential candidates that support abortion and homosexual marriage?
Probably.
So, would it be wrong to say that? Because people get offended by it.
Well, they can get offended all they want. I don't care. They don't like something. Doesn't mean it's not true. Truth doesn't care about your feelings. And so, if we go to Psalm 5:5, this is what it says: "The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all who do iniquity, promoting homosexuality, pedophilia, abortion. These are definite iniquities. And so, God would have hatred towards them." Absolutely. I don't see why that would be a problem. At Psalm 5:5 says, "The Lord tests the righteous and the wicked, and the one who loves violence, his soul hates." So I just heard on the Blaze, what's his name? I'm just bad with names.
Glenn Beck.
Glenn Beck, thank you very much. I was listening to this morning. I had to run an errand and interviewing a guy who said that didn't get all the details. So I got the last part of it. So there was a film crew that looked like they were really legitimate, had the equipment, had the whole bit, and they were lying. And they went into a crowded area, were able to get through the police, the whole bit, and then started accusing this one individual that Glenn Beck was interviewing, saying he's a racist, he's this, he caused that, he caused this, and basically trying to get him killed. And so this is most about what I heard. The police came in and saved him. And so he was very, traumatized by this. And so these people loved violence. They were promoting violence. They want violence. And the Bible says, the one who loves violence, his soul hates. So that's what the Bible says. These are imprecatory psalms. And, God loves the soul of the world. That, God's the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Caucasian surfer Jesus. That's not who Christ is. And God is righous, and he is a God of war at some time, and a God of peace at others. But the Bible does say that he hates the wicked. And it says, upon the wicked he will rain snares. Fire and brimstone and burning wind will be the portion of their cup. And that's what it says in Psalm 11:6.
Yeah, because a sister in the Lord supports Joe Biden. She put it on Facebook. And I said, God hates Joe Biden. If he supports abortion and homosexual marriage, God hates him. And I'm telling you, everybody on the Facebook came against me.
Start quoting Psalm 5:5. Go back there and quote Psalm 5:5.
Yes.
It's quoted to say, you guys can all resist the true and living God in your unrighteousness. And if you love these things, then God hates you as well. But you need to turn and repent and come to the saving faith in Christ, because if you don't, the judgment of God will come down upon you strong on that final day. Yeah. Just preach them the truth. They don't like it, not your problem. Okay?
Yeah. I'm like, I lost a couple friends over it. But,
oh, who cares?
I mean, it's the truth. Like, I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
And this is what Joe Biden supports. Yeah, God hates them. God hates them. I mean, God doesn't. God throws the sinner into hell, not the sin.
Yeah, that's right. People say he loves the sinner but hates the sin. No, he hates the sinner as well. This is a common misnomers about stuff. In fact, Ephesians 2:15, it says this. By abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances. So he might make it two, one new man. Enmity, the context here, it might be God and people, but some say it might be the Jews and the Gentiles. But the whole thing is that enmity is a strong hatred. And this exists. And God is opposed to the proud. He resists the proud and the arrogant. His soul hates those who love violence. He hates all who do iniquity. This is what it says. And it says, Psalm 45:7, you have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you. Because people have hated wickedness, and God anoints them in a favorable way. We Christians aren't supposed to be going around just saying, well, that's just your thing and we'll just let it go. No, we're to resist evil. And we can pray that God deals with evil people appropriately. And as these wacko leftist morons are out there being violent and threatening and walking up to cops and shooting them, they need to be dealt with according to the law swiftly. And they need to be set as examples.
Got shot this weekend.
Yes.
There's two cops that got shot this weekend.
Yeah.
God hates them. And I keep on telling people, they'll stop following the God, the American God, and follow the God of the Bible.
Follow the God of the Bible. And he's strong.
It's American Jesus.
That's
he
right.
loves everybody. He's not going to punish them.
Right. The blonde-haired, blue-eyed Caucasian surfer Jesus dressed in a woman's nightgown asking for permission to come into your heart. That's the false Christ taught in a lot of American churches and American culture. No, Christ is the one who's coming back in judgment, and he will destroy the wicked. And we don't want that to happen. I want people to go to heaven. So we preach that gospel. That's what we got to do. All right, buddy? We got to move along. We got calls. A lot of callers waiting. All right, man. God bless. All right, let's get to Jennifer from Los Angeles. Sorry, waiting a long time there, Jennifer. You're on the air.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing well. What do you got?
I have like a few questions. I'm going to try to make it fast because I know time's short. But I'm starting with the BLM, like the Black Lives Movement.
Uh-huh.
How do you feel about that? I mean, I feel like it shouldn't be a thing because we should already know that Black Lives Matter, yet certain people don't see that. Sad. It sucks.
Yeah, Black Lives Matter. I've read an article on it. Black Lives Matter is a Marxist anti-Christian organization, and it's for the destruction of the nuclear family, the promotion of homosexuality, transgenderism, and things like that. And one of the founders believes what's called the BREATHE Act, and the BREATHE Act, she promotes it, the BREATHE Act is basically a communist document. And BLM is basically an antichrist kind of a movement. Now, does that mean that we shouldn't say that black people matter? Of course they do. White people matter. All people matter. That's how it should be taught. That's how it should be. Equality. Black lives matter is by definition racist. Just think about it. Black lives matter. That's a racist thing. It should be all lives matter. We're all one race. That should be what's taught. Because there's only one race, the human race. We're different sizes, shapes, colors, and genders. Just two genders. And we should promote the truth of God's word and not stand for this political correctness and the flapping in the wind whatever direction happens to be right at whatever particular time some guy says. Okay.
Right. I mean, people say, but of course all lives matter. It's just that's what people use, like, no offense, but like, I'm not saying you're racist, but what racists use in order to say that they're right. You know what I mean? Like, in order to, like, shut down that Black Lives Matter, they'll say, no, all lives matter. Like, you know that. However, we're just going through stuff. You know, the African Americans are just going through racism, you know?
Well, there's a lot of racism, and the black community was abused and had been abused up until a few decades ago, shamefully. And it was the Democratic Party that helped promote a lot of that stuff. A lot of people just don't know. You got to do your research. But, this needs to be stopped. But you stop it not by burning and looting. You stop it by the preaching of the gospel and the changing of hearts. That's how it's supposed to be done. But they want oppression. And it causes resentment. It's causing more problems than it's solving. And we're out of time. Okay. Jennifer, call back tomorrow. All right. And everybody else, Eric and John and whoever else is calling right now to get in, I know you want to talk. We're out of time. Call back tomorrow and call back an hour earlier. All right. And we'll talk then. May the Lord bless you. We'll talk to you later, everybody. God bless. Bye.